This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
It's 9:06. You're listening to WSMI AM 1540. It's the Wednesday talk show. Tobin out alongside everybody's favorite uncle, Uncle Ralph Niehaus. Uncle Ralph, how are you today?
I'm here.
Welcome back, too.
Was I gone?
Yeah, you were gone last week.
Oh, I didn't miss me.
No, you didn't miss you?
Mm-mm.
Oh, boy. We have a couple of good guests here today on this week's show. We've got Paul Schemes and Joe Thiemann. They are superintendent and assistant superintendent for the Gillespie School District. So we'll talk about the school district and everything that's going on in Minerville, if you will. And we'll have that conversation right after this.
At Plummer Funeral Home, we know firsthand just how difficult the passing of a beloved family member can be. Losing a loved one is never easy, but there is a simple way to lift some of the burdens from your family. Come by Plummer Funeral Home and we'll help you make your final arrangements in advance. We'll record your choices and help you plan a personalized service that will reflect your individual wishes and beliefs. Plummer Funeral Home, the locally owned hometown funeral home. Your neighbor and your friend.
Pretty quiet in here, isn't it?
And we're back on the Wednesday talk show. Paul Schemes, Joe Thiemann are our guests. Tobin Ott alongside everybody's favorite uncle, Uncle Ralph Niehaus, as well. And Paul, it's been a long time, my friend. How are you today?
I'm fine. It has been a long time, and I'm glad to be back. Thanks for asking me in today.
Not a problem. And let's start things off. I know there's a lot of construction going on in Gillespie for the school district. Give us an update on the new building.
We've been very busy the last few months. We started out with, of course, with the site preparation, and that was completed during the summer. We then moved to the grouting process, which started in September and is still ongoing. And grouting is the process in which you stabilize the mine under the property that we're going to build on. And that is quite an undertaking. Anybody that's been by the site, you'll see two batch plants, which are actually concrete plants making concrete on site. You'll see large cranes. You'll see all kinds of pumps that are pumping the flowable liquid into the ground so it can harden. And in addition to that, you'll see about 40 concrete trucks that are making the circuit 10 hours a day from not only Hamel but Litchfield, and it's a very busy process. Anticipate the grouting to be completed by the end of February or the first early part of March, and at that point in time the foundation and structural steel work will begin. And once they start moving along, then we've also awarded Monday night a contract to Contegra Construction as a general contractor to begin the construction on the building itself. So it is very busy. It is very active. There's anywhere from 50 to 60 people, laborers on site each day, along with truck drivers, etc. And at some point in time, you'll begin to see structural steel start to come out of the ground, and hopefully that's not going to be too much longer.
And, of course, our good friend Mother Nature can have some bearing on this.
Absolutely, and Mother Nature's been real kind to us so far. You know, as long as it's the way it is, we'll continue. If we were to get a huge ice storm or a huge snowstorm, that would affect the timetable somewhat. But each day that goes by, we're closer to the days that loom out there that are the better days. And then I would say right now, we're in about as good a shape as we can be with the construction process. A little bit behind, but you always end up a little bit behind.
In theory, do you have a completion date that you're looking at?
Yes, we do. We're looking at Christmas of next year, 2012, I'm sorry, and this maybe into the spring of 2013. The target date originally was to move over Christmas break of this year. But that's probably going to be a hard date to maintain. But we will move the day that they turn the keys over to us and say the building's ready. And I look for that to be in the spring of 2013.
And you bring up, I was thinking about how the move will take place. You'll have holiday break, and then during the, week or 2 weeks off, teachers can get reallocated, desks can be moved, so on and so
forth. If we're able to move during that time. If not, we'll move whenever we can get everything coordinated. I don't know if you recall, we've moved several times in the last few years. When I came here in 2000, we were in the old Bunneld School, and then we were building the new Bunneld Elementary, and there was a move from the old one to the new one.
Mm-hmm.
And the new one had a disaster with mine subsidence, so we moved from that to the middle school and high school because we were on double shifts for a period of time. And then we moved into modulars when they were put up and ready to be used, and then we've got one more move, and that'd be the last move I'll see them make, I hope.
Let's talk about the old building. What's the plans for the building, and what's the condition of the building right now?
The building continues to deteriorate, and it was condemned by not only our architect, but also state architects as a school building, and it continues to deteriorate from the time that it was condemned, so it's even in worse shape. Presently, we are working on a grant through Mines and Minerals to obtain enough money to tear the building down, to demolish the building. I think that that's going to occur. Whether we get the grant or not, it has to occur. But if we can get the grant, that would certainly be a great benefit to our district.
And when will demolition? It just depends on the grant and everything like that?
There's no set date for the demolition. Grant date would speed that up. But regardless, it's going to have to come down within the next year or two.
So, Paul, you're basically, I guess you're on the building construction side of things right now, and then you have Joe here to handle the education side. Am I getting that read there?
Yeah, that's correct. The board had a lot of foresight and realized that we were going to be extremely busy, and they authorized the hiring of an assistant. And I tell you what, Joe has been great. It's nice to have someone that can handle the things that he's handling. Joe's in charge of curriculum and assessment, and is just doing a wonderful job. Gave a great report to the board on Monday night, and we're looking at new teacher evaluation instruments, and Joe's in charge of that. And basically, he's taking over student services. Student services are transportation, maintenance, counseling, library, things of that nature, food service. So Joe's quite busy these days, and we intend to keep him that way.
Joe, how is the education lifestyle in Gillespie right now? Is everything going as well as can be?
Yeah, it's great. This is, as I reported to the board Monday night, this in the state of Illinois and in our district, a period of great change as we move towards what are referred to as the Common Core standards, a set of standards 48 of the 50 states have adopted here in the next couple of years. Our primary focus is to align with those standards, and along with just student achievement in general. So as Superintendent Skeens pointed out, the student service part of that is to create an environment in which our students can achieve. So that, whether that's a lunch program, that's a maintenance program in buildings, but most importantly, it's curriculum and instruction in the classroom. So I've been given the charge by our Board of Education and Superintendent Skeens to kind of head that up. So I'm very active in all three buildings with that process. So it's going great.
That's got to be a tough challenge, too, because I'll give you this example. Just today, I had a story on actually my newscast about how now the report card systems have to be changed. There's a new law changing the report cards. It seems like every day there's a new tweak, a new guideline that just got raised higher for these kids. And that's got to be a little tricky sometimes.
It certainly is. The good news is that we have a great staff, a great faculty that can adapt to those things. We ask more of teachers every day, and to this point, they've responded in a very positive fashion. The key is to provide training. The key is to provide leadership. It's my job to know those things in advance, to conduct meetings for teachers to say, this is what's out there, and then to hold those teachers, they have to be held accountable, for student achievement. And they've been nothing but wonderful in that regard.
And, of course, when you have a disruption of the magnitude that you had in the Gillespie-Bunnell School District, we never want to forget and take our hats off to the students and the parents for their cooperation in this whole thing, because without this, it'd be pretty difficult.
Sure. I mean, and, you know, back in March of 2009, our parents and kids had about 4 days to adapt from a way of life that they had always known to split schedule. And I must say, the parents and kids were fantastic. They were wonderful.
And during that time, the support from the educational community in the Gillespie District never did drop off. We had everyone working together, everyone with a common goal. And although we had some painful times for students to attend school, they adapted, and the parents, grandparents, the community all pitched in. And even if you remember, you go back, everybody seems to forget things, but I try to remember things like the Pepsi grant, $250,000 grant. If things were not going good, there was no way that educational community could have won $250,000 from Pepsi when they're competing against school districts and organizations and cities all across the nation. It wasn't just in our area. We were competing against cities and organizations in other states. And for the community to pull together to be successful in that kind of contest, that's a testament to the dedication that they had to the district.
And they still are active, aren't they? Ben Gill Association.
Yeah, they're very active, and of course the district benefits from all their efforts.
Paul, you've been an educator for a long time, and you and I, before we went on the air, were talking about the education system right now. There is a major shift going on in the education system, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. I've in the years that I've been involved in education, I've seen major shifts occur, you know, all the time. There is a movement today, and it's always been there, but it's more in the news today about accountability and accountability for money spent. You know, education is a big player when it comes to state budgets all across the nation, whether it be at the college level or at the secondary level or at the elementary level. Teacher salaries, insurance packages, all those things that go with the cost of educating a student has increased, and that's because the economy changes. It's because all of those factors that figure into that have a profound impact on it. So the movement today is more towards accountability, developing a set of common core standards, core meaning that there's a central group of things that all kids need to learn all across the nation. And that's being directed by, of course, the Department of Education at the federal level, and state legislators and organizations at the state level have been adopting that. And of course, once it's adopted, we work towards achieving those goals. And that's one of the things that I've asked Mr. Thiemann to take into consideration and to be in charge of. And as I said, he's moving in those directions.
Outside of what the state may owe you, how are things going for the Gillespie School District financially? Are you guys doing okay?
Well, we reported to the board Monday night that there's financial standards that you reach in the state of Illinois. Mm-hmm. For the last 7 years, we've been in the highest category for financial stability. This year, we are still there, and it ranges up to 1 through 4, 1 being as bad as you can be and 4 being as best as you can be, and we were at 3.47 or 3.74.
Okay.
So that category puts us in the best category, meaning that the state has little or no interest and involvement in running our district. And so that and we've been there now for about 7 years. And so that is an accolade for the Board of Education, because they've made good decisions. They've made decisions that were tough. Back when you were looking at riffing staff, reduction in force, they made those tough decisions, where some districts didn't, and those districts now are in trouble.
And I was just going to add that one thing we hear in education now, of course, one magic word, if you wish to refer to it as that, is consolidation. And when you live in an area such as ours, our local schools, all of them, have to be thinking about this, because in your case, maybe it's not you moving somewhere, but someone moving in with you. Mm-hmm. And so we have to have this in the back of our mind also.
Yes, that's correct. And we've been talking consolidation at the board level for a number of years. At this point, our board is taking the stance that, you know, we're not looking at moving to a consolidated district at this point in time. But if someone were wanting to come in and consolidate with us, you know, the proposition is always open. The board will make those decisions. I look at some of the things that we surround our, some of the things that we consider is, you know, we look at our curriculum. We look at all of the things that relate to student learning. One of our board members several months ago came up with an idea on collaborative learning. In other words, not consolidating, but using staff from different schools to teach at all schools. Mm-hmm. And that's a very interesting concept for us. We have made contact with our four local schools, and they all have expressed an interest in it, and actually we will be attending meetings on starting that process. So I look for the possibility if Staunton had a physicist-type teacher and we were lacking in that area, or if we had that teacher and they were lacking in that area, we'd be able to share that teacher and provide a full schedule for someone of that nature.
Are you seeing a shift? You mentioned Staunton. Everyone knows Staunton Gillespie. That's a huge sports rivalry. That the two school districts are willing to put the Bulldog Miners aside and work together for the betterment of the kids?
I did not say that.
Okay.
Let it be clearly understood. Okay. I did not say that. I simply used Staunton as an example of collaborative learning. Their school district is an independent school district. They have no desire to consolidate with us at this point in time, and the same thing for Gillespie. So I would say that Staunton, Mount Olive, Bunker Hill, Gillespie would be interested in collaborative learning, not consolidation. I want to correct what you said. We're not looking for a new Bulldog or a new whatever.
Right.
So that we are looking at collaborative learning.
And that's what I was. I do apologize about that. I was going towards on the collaborative learning side.
I just heard my phone ringing at the office. That's all I heard.
No, and I think this is a great concept, and a concept that I would hope that not only the schools you mentioned, but schools in our area here, Hillsborough, Litchfield, Lincolnwood, and all of them, would take this concept and say, hey, this has some grounds. Let's work on it.
Well, you know, in an earlier placement when I was superintendent in another district, we created what we called Charlotte's Web. And it became Charlotte's Web because the superintendent that wrote the state grant in Missouri, mm-hmm. her name was Charlotte. So she wrote the grant, and the conference schools in the conference we were in, we established internet learning. We set aside a classroom, and we could teach anatomy, physiology. We actually taught human anatomy by tying into the University of Missouri in their medical center, and we could see live demonstrations of various things. We tied in with St. Charles Community College. Mm-hmm. And then all of the schools that were in that Charlotte's Web in our conference, as part of Charlotte's Web, we had a dedicated classroom that had TVs, it had cameras, and we taught over the internet. And it was a wonderful thing. And, you know, if you have trouble hiring a math teacher to teach upper division math, and a school district 20 miles away or 30 miles away has that person, there's no reason not to utilize those facilities and those concepts.
And I think that is probably the key in the future for education, internet teaching that. And it's already going somewhat here, locally here in Montgomery County. Litchfield, Hillsborough, Panhandle, and I believe Nokomis all get together at Hillsborough Area Hospital for a nursing course.
Right.
So that's, I think you're right on the mark there.
Well, I tell you what, and I don't see consolidation in the near future, maybe somewhere down the road, but I probably won't see consolidation. But I do see school districts combining their resources to reach a good outcome. And if someone has a teacher that's an outstanding teacher in a certain field, and we have another that's outstanding, and we can share those back and forth. I think that's, instead of consolidation, use the word collaborative learning.
Joe, attendance at Gillespie, is it up? Is it down? Are we about the same par as like what we were? You guys were last year?
Oh yeah, we're about the same. I mean, we haven't seen a decrease or an increase of any substantial nature. And of course, it varies from month to month. It goes down a little bit in the flu season. You always start strong and those kind of things. So we've been pretty consistent really for the last decade or so.
No, I was just going to say we've talked about a lot, about out of time here, but we've talked about a lot of what I would call productive things this morning, and certainly the sharing of education with your school and a neighboring school looks to me to be something that really has a good future. It looks like something that we have just kind of opened a book and haven't got very many pages into the book as far as what this can do.
That's a good definition. You know, I know Community Unit 7 in Gillespie, we're very seriously taking a look at this. We have board support for it, and we have community support for it, and I think that in my talks with area superintendents, we're all interested in it.
And you got to be, it's like you got to take ideas, throw them up against the wall, and see what sticks, and sometimes you got to think outside the box.
Not only is this a good tool educational-wise, but it looks to me like this type of program is a good tool money-wise.
Yes, absolutely. And that's what affects all school districts today.
Yeah. And I think, as I always say on Saturday Morning Sports, M-O-N-E-Y, that's what it's all about.
Well, I think that what you were talking about, the Internet Classroom, though, I think that's easier said than done. You've got the broadband initiative. You've got the fiber optic cables. Connecting the area school district, you just need to find a way to, in a classroom, to hook it up and get it done.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be internet based either. It can be physical based. A teacher has a class load in one school district that's about half a day, and they go to another school district and have that same class load the second half of the day. The travel time is their planning time, etc. So it's not always just internet based. It can be sharing of staff as well.
All right, Paul, Joe, it's always a pleasure talking with you guys today. I thoroughly enjoyed our conversation. This was a good chat, wasn't it, Uncle Ralph?
Yeah, and this guy to my left here never said a word.
He coughed a couple times.
Well, yeah.
He's down from last night's game, all right? They lost in a shootout. That's all right. Paul Schemes, Joe Thiemann were our guests on the Wednesday talk show. Gentlemen, thank you so much for your time and thoroughly enjoyed our conversation. And
thank you.
Paul, don't be a stranger.
Okay, thank you.
And
thank you,
and that's going to do it for today's Wednesday talk show. The myth, the legend, Earl Sorrows is next with your market update. That's coming up on the flip side. We'll see you next week when we have Crime Stoppers coming in. We'll have Sheriff Jim Vazzi and Sheriff Don Albright in studio, so be on your best behavior.
And Uncle Ralph, it's good to see you again.
Thank you. Good to see you, gentlemen, and always a pleasure to visit with you.
Thank you.
And we'll talk to you guys next week. Thank you so much for listening.